Okay, Channel 9's here today to talk with Joe Stegman, who's the lead program manager for the WPFE project. And Joe, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us what WPFE is all about?
Yeah, my name's Joe Stegman. I run the PM team for WPFE. And WPFE is it started out as Windows Presentation Foundation Everywhere. And that was started out to be synergistic with WPF, which was codenamed Avalon, which was next generation Windows technology. And one of the things we did is we looked at that technology, and based on customer feedback, we realized it did a lot of really interesting and cool things. And we wanted to make sure that we could make a set of that technology available everywhere. And out of that popped out WPFE.
So,
and, go ahead.
So when you say everywhere, what do you mean by that?
Well, everywhere is an interesting term. So for our first release, for our CTP, everywhere means it'll run on the web in on Windows and on Mac and in browsers, Firefox and Safari and IE. In the future, our roadmap includes support for devices and, based on customer feedback, what other platforms that we may need to go to or find that our customers want us to go to.
Okay, so what's like the great advantage that we can get out of running, you know, WPF apps everywhere?
Well, certainly with the web today, although Ajax is an incredible technology, and people have been able to push the envelope with Ajax and do some pretty interesting stuff, inherently HTML is a document technology, and it has certain things that it just can't do. And those things are like, for example, as amazing as the technology is, and as much as people have pushed the envelope, it can't do things like media, for example. How do you do something like play a video on the web today? There are things like that where you have to sort of step outside the browser, extend the browser, and scenarios like that are really key things initially for WPFE to focus on. And one of the key things for WPFE and Microsoft as a whole was really we wanted to make sure that we did that in a way that was synergistic with existing Microsoft technologies. So, for example, you want to play media. Microsoft has a media format that's got a huge ecosystem, and that's WMV. And we wanted to make sure that you could do things such as play back a branded media experience or have a branded media experience that played back WMVs in a way that's compatible with Microsoft technologies, meaning WMV and, for example, XAML, which is the markup that's supported by WPF. It's also supported by WPFE, but we've done it in a way that's really consistent with sort of the whole umbrella of Microsoft technologies, stretching from our rich media technologies to our client technologies being WPF, and as well as we're looking at ways to make ourselves work, to make WPFE work better with technologies like Microsoft Ajax technologies and ASP.NET.
Okay, so you mentioned XAML. What's XAML all about, particularly in WPFE world?
So XAML is a markup technology. It's basically a declarative way to define not just UI, but UI and animations. So we use that as sort of a mechanism by which that sort of the best way to think of it is the enabling technology that allows our tools to build on top of a sort of a common markup format so that our tools can do things such as produce rich 2D content or animations, and they can persist those in a consistent human-readable format, which is a markup format called XAML. And XAML is basically just XML with special tags that we use to define the 2D set and animations and those sorts of things.
Now, we've heard a lot about XAML and how XAML can bring like designer and developer closer together. How does it achieve that?
Well, one of the advantages of XAML is that it is very toolable. And so at Microsoft, we're working on, you know, a set or a suite of tools, and the tools, we have tools that are specifically designed for designers and a set of tools that are specifically designed for developers. Now, one of the traditional problems between designers and developers is how does the workflow work between a designer and a developer? So a designer typically will produce something, maybe Photoshop, but some comps, and at some point in time, you take those comps, you need to get them to a developer so the developer can make them do something. And how does that traditionally happen? Well, traditionally, it may be in the form of just image assets or something like that, or vector assets. With XAML, the great thing about XAML is that you can define your assets using a designer tool, and one of the designer tools from the expression suite. It exports that content as XAML, and then our developer tool can directly read that XAML. There's no impedance mismatch or any loss in fidelity and go in between the two tools. So we can have a tool that's totally targeted at designers producing XAML, very toolable markup, and then we have our developer tools that can consume that XAML and allow you to do things such as add code that provides interactivity and behavior.
So basically, a developer is going to be able to reuse the artifacts that have been generated by the designer, and then add, you know, add the business value onto them with with business logic.
Yeah, that's correct. They'll be able to just re-leverage those assets directly and use them directly in their developer tool, and be able to do things such as add whether it's, you know, click handlers in the simplest case to more elaborate business logic that forms the sort of the basis for the application. They can do that as well, but they can directly take those assets, and if at any point in time the designer needs to change those assets, the designer can change those assets, and the developer can directly re-import them and reuse them again, full fidelity experience. They basically, both tools share the exact same format, the exact same markup, so there's no translation required when you go between one and the other.
Okay, cool. So now your developer who's building a WPFE web application has received some XAML from a designer, and he's implementing that into his application. But how does this work? What's the architecture of the application, and what's it going to look like?
So in terms of, I can do a little
a little
markup on the
whiteboards are
the
always
whiteboard
good
here. If you can, if you can see it. So gotcha. So traditionally, from the standpoint of a tooling perspective, you'll have, you know, some tool, and this could, you know, the expression tools, for example, and they will export some XAML, and we'll say this is designer. And it's not just one of the advantages of the markup format and the XAML, and think of this really as your assets. One of the nice advantages of this being an XML format is this could be the expression tool, but really this box really should be sort of a suite of tools. And there are lots of tools that exist today in the marketplace that that support exporting. And you can add exporters to these tools. And people here at Microsoft have developed exporters for tools such as Illustrator that can directly export into this XAML format. But so the designer can use these tools, export it into XAML format. Then you have maybe another set of tools, which is developer tools. For example, VS at Microsoft. A lot of people use VS as a developer tool that can then consume this XAML, and one of the nice things about using VS is it then allows you to take this XAML, and then you can add other assets to loosely your project here, such as some code assets, loosely, and the developer can work on that as an aggregate, and so the developer is in here using their whatever their tool is to add coding experience to that markup, and if at any point in time the designer needs to change it, again, this sort of is a separate asset, and at any point in time, a designer can then turn around and take this exact same XAML, unmodify, continue to use it in their tools, re-export into this format, and it's directly consumed by VS, but there's a separation between the code file, that's literally a different file, from the markup file. So we keep that separation very loose, which provides that nice workflow.
Okay, so if I'm building a WPFE app and I have some XAML, what's my app going to look like? Do I put the XAML directly into a web page, or is it being loaded by a component somewhere, or how does that all work?
So the way that this is typically pieced together is, I'll start from the basis here. So let's start sort of the core from a web browser. And the web browser itself knows how to basically talk HTML. So into your browser itself is HTML. Now, the HTML itself, what is it composed of? It's composed of, for example, you have your standard HTML tag, blah, blah, blah. But within there, you have we use standard for WPFE, we use standard browser hosting technology such as ActiveX or the Netscape plugin technology to augment the HTML or basically provide an extensibility mechanism within the browser. So based on whether you're using ActiveX or a Netscape-based browser, object or embed tag goes inside your HTML, and within this object or embed tag, you can provide parameters, and the parameters can do things such as loosely say source equals, and this just pseudocode, XAML. But effectively, you can now, in your HTML page, you have an experience where you can give it an object tag in there. The object tag, this being the object tag right here, this is part of the screen. You can give it an object tag. The object tag is created directly in your web page. The object tag points to a XAML file, and the object tag itself, first of all, points to something that looks like CLS ID for Microsoft Technologies equals, and this is a GUID if you want to get techie. So there's a CLS ID that points to our control, and there's also a way by which when you first come to a web page, if you don't have our control installed, due to the magic of browser technology, whether it's an object or an embed tag, you'll see you have some mechanism by which the object embed tag can go off and find our plugin. Our plugin for our CTP is a 1 meg download and install. But so what happens? The browser takes this page, sees an HTML, or loads the HTML page, comes across the object embed tag, sees the CLS ID, or there's a MIME type for embed tags. It sees that. It says, hey, do I know what to do with this? If not, it actually goes based on additional arguments. We provide the object embed tag. It says, oh, I don't know what to do with that, but there's a way to I can go off and actually install that plugin. I go find that plugin, and then it goes off and installs the WPFE plugin, which then is loaded in the browser, and it installs that plugin, and then it passes off, and basically once the plugin is up and initialized, the browser automatically, through the magic of the browser, will pass it the source information, and now our plugin is actually installed and running, or WPFE is now installed and running inside this browser, gets the source information, which is the XAML file, and then it'll instantiate that XAML file.
Okay. So WPFE basically has a plugin for these different browsers, and this plugin can, you know, render the XAML that your designers and developers have put together. And like developers, if they're building like business logic, do they build that in XAML as well, or do they have access to the coding model?
Yeah, so there's the XAML, which defines the UI. So the XAML effectively can do things like display, and I'll show you a sample of this. For example, it can do vectors or images that display something like a clock. But then how do you actually interact with that? And for our CTP, the way that you interact with that is through using JavaScript that's on the page itself. And what I mean by that is that within your HTML page, you can actually script against items that are defined in the XAML. So if I expand on this a little bit, you have your object tag or embed tag. And this points to some XAML. The object embed tag loads the WPFE runtime into the browser. And then the WPFE runtime goes and grabs a XAML file and instantiates that XAML file. Now, the XAML file itself may look like something as simple as this. Canvas, which is a tag in WPFE or XAML. But within this Canvas, you can provide children elements. So, for example, if I were doing something like this clock here, I'd have a circle, which would be basically an ellipse. But I can actually give that a name using syntax like this, and I can call it something like EL1. That'll define an ellipse. When this, when our plugin comes in and says, go load the XAML, it'll then load XAML, and it'll, as we parse the XAML, we'll say, oh, ellipse. That means let's go ahead and create an ellipse, and I didn't show the height and width, but it would have a height and width associated with it, and it gives it a name, EL1. So what does the name EL1, what does that allow you to do? Well, within the browser itself, so I have my object tag, but just normal browser, using normal browser technology, I can have a standard script block in the browser, and it can be, you know, type equals blah, 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 being JavaScript. And within this script block itself, I can do things that allow me to effectively script into our ActiveX control, the WPFE ActiveX control, and ask the our ActiveX control to say, hey, do you have a named element called EL1? And it can return that named element, and then I can script against the named element. So effectively, it looks like effectively our object embed tag would have a standard ID. This is standard HTML here, and it would say something like J1. And within your script, you'd say document standard HTML dot get element by ID. I'm not writing it all out, shorthand.
Sure.
And you'd say J1. That gets a handle to our object tag. And then once you have our, this would be var x. So now that is the object tag, and I can do something as simple as say x dot find name EL1. What that is now, it gives me a, and same thing, var y equals this now, x.findName says, hey, on our ActiveX control, call the findName method on the ActiveX control and have the ActiveX control return you, which is WPFE or our embed object, the Netscape plugin, return a named element called EL1, which would return this ellipse. And then I can do standard things like, for example, y, which is the ellipse dot width equals 200. And that'll cause the width to grow to 200. And cool. I can say y dot height equals 200 and cause the height to go to 200. But so, effectively, go ahead.
Yeah, so now what I'm seeing here, maybe I misunderstand, but what I'm seeing here is that even though you're using an object tag in your page to deliver like a binary object to the browser, the fact that that binary object is rendering XAML and the DOM tree of the XAML is exposed to the browser, and JavaScript can also access the DOM tree of that one, is that you're getting all the advantages of extending the browser without the closed nature that you would have had of extending the browser, like if you were building a custom ActiveX control to render a rich UI.
That's correct. That's exactly right. We internally refer to it as a DOM and a DOM model, as in within the HTML DOM itself, our object tag or embed tag will live within that HTML DOM, but you can then query that object or embed tag, and then you get the full DOM in a scriptable way, just like you're used to using in HTML, but it's the full DOM that is basically defined by the XAML that lives within that object tag. So we basically expose a DOM in a very consistent way to the way the HTML DOM is exposed. We expose the XAML DOM, if you will, on our control, so that anybody who's a standard web programmer who's used to dealing with the HTML DOM will find it very easy to turn around and deal with our DOM as well, because it's designed to be very consistent with the HTML DOM, and so therefore you can write really rich applications just using standard markup technology and JavaScript in the browser.
Okay, so that would that like empower something like if you wanted to have an event handler in Java to respond to a user event within XAML? In JavaScript, so you could then write the JavaScript event handler for that.
Yes, so sort of the same mechanism here. I said ellipse name equals EL1, but I could do the same thing where I also could say ellipse has an event on it, for example, called loaded, which it does. It says loaded, if you can read that. This is all on the ellipse tag, and I could say loaded equals JavaScript. Sorry for my scribble here. I'm running over my blue blur. Sort of the ad hoc nature of these interviews, JavaScript, and then I could say ellipse underloaded, and then end the ellipse tag. So I can now actually specify a loaded handler on the ellipse, and it says call that JavaScript entry point. And what this does is that as the object or embed tag, as the WPFE control is parsing the XAML, as soon as it creates that ellipse element, it will fire the ellipse element's loaded event. And in this case, it says, hey, fire a JavaScript event called or call a JavaScript entry point called e.loaded. What this will do is that it'll then look for an entry point on the current page called e.loaded, a JavaScript entry point, and then call it. Cool. So that allows you to actually, in your markup, call it just like you can today using HTML. You can do the same effective concept to add an event handler, that's a JavaScript event handler, that'll call out into a script block that's in your page.
Okay, excellent. So you can see this technology must be enabling a whole new set of scenarios of things that you're going to be able to do on the web. Do you have a few scenarios that you'd like to share with us?
Sure, I can show you a few samples if that's where you're going.
Sure.
So I'm going to internally, we have a set of samples that we call our top 10 samples. These are just samples that we want to make sure at any point in time are always running.
Okay.
So as most people who have been around developers will know that occasionally a developer may check something in that has an unwanted side effect. Mm-hmm. And this basically is one of our mechanisms by which we prevent those side effects, but we want to make sure at any point in time all these samples always run.
Okay.
And anyway, so I'm going to show you a few of the samples. I'm not sure what you've shown so far and some of the other Channel 9 things that you've showed or that you've filmed, but a couple quick samples. This is, now, don't want to confuse people. WPFE does not support 3D. What you're seeing here is...
That looks like 3D to me.
Yeah, it does look like 3D, doesn't it? So I lied. No, I didn't.
So when you say 3D, you mean like hardware-accelerated 3D kind of thing?
And I mean that we don't actually have native APIs that deal with 3D.
Okay.
So what you're seeing here is this is a somewhat of a standard trick that Again, the programming model for in our CTP, our programming model is JavaScript. And what this is that we had a designer come in and create some samples. And what they did is they took a 3D model, and they actually took a real 3D model, and they had basically a set of polygons, and they defined a mechanism by which that they sort of in real time, if you will, as I move the mouse, they took that 3D model, a real 3D model of a cube in JavaScript, and they converted it to a 2D representation based on the mouse. So think of the mouse almost as being a combination of a camera, and it's my viewing angle, as well as there is some ability that as I move it, it actually spins that thing as well. And all that's happening is that in real time, there is some JavaScript that is going through and taking the 3D model, turning it into a 2D projection, and then showing you that 2D projection.
Wow.
So that's all that's happening here. And so I have a couple samples like that are things rotating that look like 3D objects, but really these are just 2D projections of things that are 3D models in JavaScript, and the JavaScript is taking the 3D model and turning it into a 2D projection.
It's hard to believe that that's just JavaScript.
Yeah, and this is running on my 2-year-old IBM laptop right there. So that's it. Whoops!
What's that?
Oh, that's a book I was reading. It's an excellent book by, some guy.
I hear he's a very nice guy.
Yeah, he does shoots videos as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? And he's got like a funny Irish accent.
Yeah. It's an excellent book, though.
Oh, thank you.
So, a couple other samples. So, here's another...
I filmed this sample before, and it messed up the autofocus on my camcorder.
Okay, we'll see if it does that again. But the same concept. We don't support 3D, but just a simple little case of...
Yeah, there it goes. I just blurred.
Did you? Okay,
yeah.
We'll move on to something else.
So I actually want to see that one again, because you know this one is like again it's pseudo 3D like you mentioned. It's very nicely done, and it's using contrast and the like to move. This isn't an official Microsoft product set that we're seeing here. It's just lots of Microsoft names like ASP.NET and Windows.
Yeah, now
you're actually moving them around in 3D space using JavaScript.
Yep.
And it's such a great illusion that it actually knocks off the autofocus on my camera.
Yeah, and this is I'm bringing up Firefox here. So this is just all markup.
What's that?
Whoops.
The marketing people are going to be quaking in their
boots. They will be. Here's the same sample running in Firefox, and the reason that I wanted to show you in Firefox is. And, of course, I'm just doing this on the fly. Let's see, page info.
On the fly is always the right way.
Yeah, media, links, forms, media, where is it?
I'm going to zoom out so we don't get dizzy.
Well, what I'm looking for, I want to show you the view source experience, so I'll do it.
While you're doing that, we're going to look at your window, because he's got a very nice view from his window of a fountain over there. And for the first time in about a month, it's not actually raining.
Yes, in Seattle, yeah. So here's the view source experience. So what I've got here is that from Firefox, I had a view source, and everything in the page, so this is HTML right here, head, body, blah, blah, blah. And what it does have in it is it's got this script block, and all this does is it calls JavaScript that we'll provide as part of our SDK that we'll release with our CTP. And this just does basically a browser sniff, and based on the browser, it'll spit out an object or an embed tag. So that's what this line is doing.
So as a developer now, I don't need to think about object embed equals class ID as you showed on the board. I'm just going to say new ag host.
That's right.
What's an ag host?
This is... Ag happens to be the name of our ag host is it's a good question. I'm glad you asked me that on camera. That you'll see all our DLLs
totally unscripted here.
Yeah, exactly. It is all our DLLs, all our assemblies, if you will, on both the Mac and Windows are all equivalent of our binaries are all prefixed with the AG just because we needed to have something to prefix them with, and so AG
fair
seemed.
Enough.
Like a reasonable enough thing.
It's
to
good
use.
As anything, but an ag host is basically the WPFE control and,
yeah.
Or sorry, should I say it's a JavaScript class that's wrapping the markup that will give you a WPFE
that's
control.
Right. So the AG actually means nothing. This could be WPFE, if you will, WPFE host. But that's all it is. This is just a JavaScript. This is basically instantiating a JavaScript object, if you will. But all that is that I can actually look at it, which is one of the reasons I brought it up. And
right. But the bottom line is the developer doesn't need to worry about like the GUID and object tag or embed tag and trying to figure out what browser he's using. It's all been done as part of the SDK.
Uh-huh. And here's basically what that file is. It's basically just doing the following. Here is that's the source file, the AG host.
Right.
And the other thing I was going to show you is the the thing that's doing the 3D is here's the script file that's actually doing that. There's the list of the different products that you see. And this is the set of, this is just JavaScript. I'm viewing it in the browser. So it's a total view source experience. And this is the math that does the effectively 2D to 3D projection you see in there. So there's some matrix stuff in here. But that's it. That's all we've got for the source to actually generate this sample. And then there's some markup associated with it as well. Now, we're totally unscripted here, so we'll just see what happens when I try to give the browser this. See how... I've never tried this before. See what it does.
What URI did you put in?
I just put in
opening the XAML.
Yep, I'm just giving it the it's going to... I was going to give it the XAML here and other, and let's see, /Windows/Notepad.
While he's doing that, I just spotted
a
Mac on his desk. We're going to have to ask him about that later.
Certainly. So here's the actual XAML that defines, you can see it's all XML markup, and this is actually what's used to define the 3D text that you see right here, or the scene. So, anyway, let me show you a couple other samples, and then go ahead.
Oh, so yeah, this is now, earlier, right at the beginning, you were talking about video on the web, and you read my mind. I was just about to ask you about video.
So video is obviously a key scenario. One of the things that and I'll mute it so I don't have to talk over it, pause it. One of the key things that we did when we first started WPFE is we went around and we talked to a lot of customers. And we really asked them, we said, hey, we know that you want to do richer things within the web, and what are some of the main areas that we can provide value? And one of the things that we heard time and time again was, hey, I've got a tremendous amount of WMV assets, and I want to make sure that I make those assets available to my users on the web, and I want to make them available on Macs, on Windows. But today, we just don't have a great, us as Microsoft, didn't have a great solution for being able to play back those WMV assets that lots of companies have acquired over the years everywhere. And so we heard that time and time again. So one of the main things we did was we said, hey, you know, one of the top scenarios we've got to do is really nail making sure that you can play your WMV content back everywhere. And so this is a sample of doing that. This is basically a set of WMVs that are being streamed from a web server and being played. But as part of this demo here, this experience here, as I unmute it and play it, this whole experience is all developed using WPFE. And this is just a media player. It's all...
Oh, look how that rescales.
Yeah, and this is WPFE versus, you know, Windows Media Player.
I'm dizzy.
Yeah, the way our architecture works, the way the WPFE architecture works is we really leverage nothing from the underlying platform, meaning we bring our, for those who care, we bring our decoders with us, and we bring basically our playback engine with us. And the reason we do that is so we can guarantee a consistent experience on all platforms. Which is really important from a portability standpoint. It's how it makes it so it's easy for us to port to Mac, for example, because we really aren't leveraging a lot on the platform. We just bring it with us. And so you don't have to worry about installing Media Player 10 and having that affect your experience with WPFE playback. And so this is doing the simple media playback. The whole UI that you see here, let's make it larger. The whole UI that you see here is all WPFE. So these animations that you see here are all part of the WPFE runtime. There's some things in here that you can't do using normal media player today. For example, some transport controls that overlay, custom transport controls that overlay on top of the video. Those sorts of things. I can, you know, select other videos.
So that what you just used to select other videos, that list on the right, that's fully implemented using WPFE?
That's fully implemented using WPFE.
So it's a scrollable list, and you got the highlights and that kind of thing. Neat.
All this is, and you can see the instant on. In this case, every one of the videos that I'm clicking on those all come from a web server. So this is not, I'm not playing back files locally. They're sitting on my hard drive. I'm actually clicking on a server that lives somewhere else.
And so even this list is being updated live then based on the contents of that server?
It could be updated live based on the contents of the server. This example here, it's all
static.
It's a static list. So anyway, there's a quick little media sample. I'm going to show one more little media sample.
HD. Everybody loves HD, right?
Yeah, so this is just an HD showcase. Let me click on a sample here. So all it is you sort of get this spinning globe, and I can click on a video sample again. Just WMV content being played back in this ad showcase showing off WMV type scenario ad.
Right, so this entire thing that I'm seeing on the screen at the moment, now this is a WPFE piece of content.
The way
the video fades away as it orbits around the globe, and
all that is this is all WPFE. This is one web page with effectively an object tag in it, and this whole experience is all developed with WPFE. Again, just markup and JavaScript running on the page.
Okay.
Now, since I'm showing you that demo, I will let's just jump over real quickly and. I need to totally unscript it, but close the back here so we have a slightly better view.
Oh, much nicer.
So this is a Mac here, and we currently have this is an Intel Mac. However,
now are you running Mac OS or are you running Windows on the Mac? Oh, definitely Mac OS.
There you go. Yes,
what's that guy on the bottom called again?
What's that?
What's that guy on the bottom called again? I can never remember. You know the bar where you have your icons? Yeah, that fella.
This guy, Safari? Or you mean the...
No worries. Not just one of the shell gimmicks that they have in Mac OS X, which is very nice for launch. Is it a quick launch or something like that? Never mind.
So
just proving it's Mac OS X and not Windows.
Yeah, so here's the same sample I just showed on my Windows box.
Whoops.
Great. Well, you see we're unscripted.
Yeah, and these are pre-release bits.
So. Yes. So go ahead and click on a sample, and there you go. You can see the video playing back on the Mac. Exact same. It's the exact same scenario, exact same content that I had running on my Windows box, but now it's running on the Mac box.
Now your code, did you have to make any changes to your code to get it to work on Mac?
Exactly the same code base. Just copy the bits from point A to point B. Obviously, I didn't copy the runtime bits from point A to point B. This is actually a separate version. This is the Mac version of our the WPFE runtime.
Okay.
But the actual executable that you see, or the it's not executable, but the markup and JavaScript that I was running on Windows is the exact same markup and JavaScript that I'm running on the Mac version.
Cool. So if I'm an application developer, first of all, the potential conflicts that we've had with designers in the past that go away, thanks to WPFE and XAML, and now my same piece of code that I've written to run on the IE browser can, with no modification from the look of it, run on a Mac browser, on a Mac desktop.
That's correct.
Okay, cool. Any other scenarios you'd like to talk about, or... anything else before we wrap up that you think is cool and exciting about WPFE?
Well, let me see if I can find at least one more demo to show you. One of the great things about our development process is that we actually do a lot of work where we do app building, application building. And it's either we partner internally or our developers or program managers on the team or other people within Microsoft. We take usually a couple weeks out of each of our – we have a six-week milestone, and we take a couple weeks and we build apps. And apps are typically real-world type scenarios, and so we're always having some cool and interesting stuff built. And it really does a great job of helping us figure out where the rough spots in our APIs are or in the feature set. So
eating our own gourmet food, as it were.
Yes, exactly. So we had some individuals here that were some designers, and we had them here for a couple weeks, and we just had them beat on the product and see what sort of creative things that they could come up with. And one of the designers came up with, and I could spend time going through all the samples, but here's one of the samples that one of the designers came up with, and sort of came up with this nice little water effect here.
Oh, I got to get up close on this. Okay.
Now, you see the bubble effect and...
Now, yeah, I see, like, there's the graphical content, and you got those nice reflections as well.
Yep.
Now, that text, is that text in the XAML, or is that text on the web page?
This is text on the web page. So this is actually, you know, selectable text. This is a div. In this case, it's a div sitting on top of our control, and we do have... WPFE has and supports text. In this case, it was just much easier to develop by just using standard web technology. If you're used to using divs in HTML and you just want to augment the experience a little bit, it's a great way to do it. Since the XAML and HTML can live together in the page, this is a sample of exactly that, just the XAML and HTML playing better together.
Cool. Can you make them bounce again?
Sure.
Oh, very neat. So as you select tabs, not only are you getting a highlight, you actually get a slightly exaggerated feedback on it, but it is beautiful, isn't
it? Exactly right. Yeah.
So then, like, you know, this right now, this is just static text that you have on the page, but if this was like an ASP.NET, you know, web form, then that web form could be pushing dynamic text down to you, but you'd still have the same background with that navigation and bouncy effect, right?
That's exactly right. Okay. Yep, and you can see there's a little transparency. You see the text, and you actually can see the transparency behind it.
Okay.
So we do, we have a lot of, whether it's creative individuals or people on our team, sit down and actually, you know, try to do creative things or build interesting things like this, and it just does a great job of helping us flesh out our feature set and our API set. And the combination of that, and we do spend a lot of time with customers trying to understand what their needs are and the type of things that they want to build, that has really helped us make progress and help really solidify our feature set that's part of our CTP that's been released now.
Okay, great. So, yeah, go on to Channel 9, go on to MSDN and download the bits. We've got a few videos on Channel 9, and some of the samples that you've seen today will also be on Channel 9 for you to take a look at and have a play with.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, Joe.
Sure.
Thanks. Signing off.